Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Titans get the win at home over the Atlanta Falcons, 28-23, in a fantastic debut for Will Levis, 4 touchdowns on the day. Joining us now to break it all down is TD Teron Davenport. TD, when the Titans fell to 2-4, I think what was giving a lot of fans hope was, well, they went 2-4 to start the season in 2019, and then they turned things around and made the playoffs, with the caveat of they had another quarterback to come in and kind of give this team a spark. Could we possibly be seeing that with this team, with Will Levis giving this team a spark to turn things around?
Yeah, you know, that's what I wondered, what that spark would be. And that's why I asked a lot of the guys about the Kevin Byard trade and if that was something they could rally around. But I think this could be the spark. And you look at just the way that team came alive in that game, it could definitely be that option. But, I mean, I really caution everyone who's suddenly saying that, you know, Will Levis is absolutely 100% the franchise savior to just remember it's one game. It was an outstanding game, but it's just one. But it can spark them and put them on a nice run. But I don't know that it leads to the type of run that they had in 2019.
TD is with us. TD, today at Mike Vrabel's press conference, you may have asked him the question. And if it wasn't you, then I apologize. But Mike Vrabel said that there was a possibility that if Ryan Tannehill comes back and is healthy, that he could be the starter moving forward. But hypothetically speaking, of course, he couched it with that. What did you make of that?
Yeah, that was someone else that asked that question. I think it's just him positioning himself in a way in which he could go either direction. And that's actually wise to do that. There's no need to commit to either quarterback right now. And it's not a situation where, okay, Ryan Tannehill is back, so you have to make that pick. So I think he did it wisely and just pushed it off.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans' victory last night versus the Atlanta Falcons. Now, moving forward with Will Levis, do you think this because this offense, and I said it was just, to me, you, like you said, caution yourself because the next game could look a little bit different. I think it was a perfect situation for Will Levis to step into a team that played a lot of man-to-man, which I didn't think they should have, but they did for some reason, and it allowed him to use that big arm of his. And one of our callers called in and made he said, listen, he has this big arm, but can he consistently be what was the word he used? Can he with the
be responsible? Yeah.
Discipline. Mm-hmm. Can he be disciplined with that big arm? And that's true. Moving forward, do you think he can be disciplined with that big arm, knowing that he's gonna face defenses that are going to be maybe a little bit more aggressive up front than what he saw yesterday?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. And you look at this Pittsburgh game; those guys up front, they come after you, you know, and you got T.J. Watt and you look at Alex Highsmith. So if you're put in a situation where you have to make a quick decision, will you keep the ball out of harm's way? And we know what happened, you know, over the last couple of years, 23 interceptions there at Kentucky. So that is something that's always going to be lurking over his head. And he almost had a turnover, right, in the game yesterday. So I would imagine he'll throw an interception. I just want to see how he bounces back from that. That's the bigger thing. But one thing to actually look at is Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's already ruled out for the game, and he's really the guy that their turnover machine when you look at the Steelers.
Now, we talk so much about the offense, and we understandably, because of the way Will Levis played last night and the offense looked, because they hadn't looked that good all season. But the defense – I am going to believe that Tyrre Tarte being out there had something to do with how well that defensive front played. Listen, I could be delusional, but it seems like when Big Tyrre Tarte is teamed with Big Jeffrey Simmons, it's hell to go against that front.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely is the case, and it's just Simmons, they did some things with him also, whereas they lined him up. He was kind of on the end as well. He had one of his sacks from there. But there is something about that tandem, and it allows you to move other guys around too. So T.R. Tart, when he's out there, not only against the run but against the pass, you know, he's somebody that definitely helps out.
Now, how do you think the secondary played? I know they gave up some big plays. Yeah, the rookie gave up a touchdown, you know, in the corner of the end zone and that corner route. But as a whole, how do you think the secondary played?
Yeah, I think they played solid, and no one is really talking about it, literally no one, but Christian Fulton had a solid game. I mean, he had a pass break up there. He went up and he fought with Drake London to knock it out. He came up and he took Bijan Robinson on one-on-one and you know, hit him and stopped him, and he had some other solid hits as well. So I think when you look at what he was able to do, he was one of the standouts, and I like the way they were able to mix in Terrell Edmonds. You know, when they went dime, they brought him into the game. And I think overall they played solid football for sure. And there were a couple times where I saw, getting back to Christian Fulton, I saw them try to set up ways to get Kyle Pitts against him. And he stuck right with him. And, you know, Ridder, he overthrew him the one time. But it was really good play. And actually Elijah Molden, you know, I talked to him after the game, and he was saying how Amani Hooker did a really good job of taking over the communication and actually got him right a couple times pre-snap, whereas he was in a better position to do what he needed to do.
Now, did he get a chance to talk with Chig after the game? Because, again, I know he made, you know, a few catches, but he had the huge catch that, I mean, it was one of those plays where you just look and you're like, oh, my goodness, seriously? But he's been known as a guy that has trouble. He's a 50-50 guy right now. And you know, yeah. TD, in this game, you can't be 50-50. And right now, that's what he is. But did you get a chance to talk to him in particular about that specific play?
No, I didn't get a chance to talk to him after the game. That is something that, yeah, I would be curious, just, you know, kind of what was going through his mind, you know, after that play, or even while it was coming, because sometimes you get those passes and it seems like the ball's in the air forever. Mm-hmm. And you think about running before catching it, and I think that's probably what happened in that situation. So hopefully he could bounce back. I would imagine he needs to get a lot more work, because, you know, that's how you develop that confidence, through the work that you do. So a lot of jugs and those type of things would probably be good for him, and we'll see how he continues to work forward.
Teron Davenport is with us. TD, what did you make of Mike Vrabel's decision to put Malik Willis in the game on those two instances?
Yeah, I think really whoever's the quarterback, Willis, Tannehill, or Levis, you got to just commit to it and just roll with it for the game and just use whatever game plan you have for each individual guy. So I don't think it was a wise decision to do that, to be honest with you, and especially – at that point in the game, they had just gotten the first down. It's the first drive. Get your quarterback in a rhythm. Allow him to, you know, get in sync. And honestly, the same thing goes for the play caller. So, for me, I wouldn't have went that way. I think it's a necessity, barring injury, to have the same guy in the center throughout.
Now, what do you think is the approach? Because, again, this game is, you know, night and day from Atlanta. Pittsburgh, they do things a lot different from a defensive standpoint. Kenny Pickett may not be playing. I think he's out for this Thursday's game because he left the game this past weekend. But how do you think they approach this game on such a short week with the quarterback?
Yeah, that's something I wonder, because a lot of what they did yesterday, game plan was set up. I mean, look at how wide open some of these guys were. So that is something to take into account. I wonder how they're going to attack. I would imagine they're going to find ways to get Levis settled in and comfortable early, so that way that confidence, even though it's sky high right now, it just continues to build throughout the game. That's how I would imagine they'll do it. And they have to make sure that they find ways to get, and they did a good job of it earlier in the game yesterday, get the ball out of his hands quickly, so that way those guys attacking up front, because I doubt Chris Hubbard's going to be playing and Andre Dillard versus T.J. Watt is just not a matchup that, you know, I would want to be behind if I was a quarterback. So, you know, that's the – and even you know, because Watt runs from both sides. And even, you know, when Highsmith is facing him, that's another one. That Highsmith is quiet. I mean, he had 12 sacks last year. He's quietly, you know, a big-time playmaker. And you saw him get a couple sack strips, and one of them Watt recovered for a touchdown. I believe that was against Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, that's putting Will Levis's wheels to the test out there if Andre Dillard is one-on-one with T.J. Watt. But you mentioned, you know, the chick drop, and that's absolutely a ball that he needs to catch. And it's becoming an uncomfortable trend with Chig. But I'm getting concerned about Treylon Burks' TD. And we can nitpick that first catch, you know, was just a good defensive play. Should he have caught that ball? I think that you can have an argument either way. And, of course, the second ball was a good ball that he came down with, just couldn't stay in bounds. But it just kind of continues this trend with Treylon Burks of not being able to make the big plays, not being available, just overall not being a huge contributor in these games for the Titans.
Yeah, the biggest thing is the inconsistency. Yeah. That's the main thing. I thought about it yesterday. Like, wow, he had one catch, and that was taken away. So they do have to find a way to get some impact from him. He has to find a way to be a more impactful player because, I mean, you look, when you're a guy, you know, first-round pick, this isn't what is expected, right? More is expected out of him, so – they have to find a way to get that together and get him to be more consistent. And it's nothing new because that's what Tim Kelly was saying back at the combine. He said that, you know, it's his charge to find a way to get the playmakers the ball. And he's dialing up ways, but it's not always happening.
Now, we got a chance to see Kyle Phillips back in the game. He had a few catches. Do you think this is what they envision his role to be, and they will work him in more and more during the season? I think his time as a punt returner is over. I think the rookie did a good job yesterday, even though, you know, the long one got called back. I think he's decisive. He's explosive when running, returning punts, and he can catch the ball. So I think Kyle Phillips' days of catching punts are over, but his days as far as being more more involved in the offense. How do you see that?
Yeah, maybe that's good for him to get him to focus more on just being a pass catcher. And I you look at, you know, they went empty a few times and he was in that game and they did it the one time, third and 13, and he got like 11-yard gain. I could see them continuing to use him like that, but I would imagine they would do it even more just as far as like having him run those choice routes, you know, the Dirk routes and things like that from the slot. So I would like to see if his usage is going to increase because, I mean, there were times I remember in training camp the last couple of years, especially his rookie year, where it was just – he was just that guy consistently getting open and Tannehill was going to him.
Now, T.D., over the weekend we got – some conflicting reports. Diana Russini, really for lack of a better word, basically said the Titans aren't open for business. Ian Rappaport, on the other hand, says that they could be open for business. I think we know that Diana Russini gets her information from Mike Vrabel, Ian Rappaport with a conflicting report. What does that tell you? Is there maybe some disagreements going on in the front office between Rand and Mike Vrabel?
No, I don't really look at it like that. And even you look at today, Mike Vrabel said he'll go, Rand, and tell him that he got a call, and they'll talk about it, and that's how the process worked. And then Mike Vrabel was asked about whether or not the win impacted the trades. And he said, you know, we owe it to our organization to listen and diligently to all offers. So, I mean, that doesn't exactly sound like a guy that says that, hey, all trades are off. So it's just a lot of back and forth and just trying to put puzzles together. But I don't think that they're separate, to be honest with you. I think they are along the same lines. I mean, they may not be, you know, the best friends and stuff like that, but I think their working relationship is right. And I don't see that being an issue.
Do you think they make a move? I mean, we got, you know, a little bit over 24 hours because I think, what, trade deadline is tomorrow at 2:30, somewhere around there. Do you think they will make another move to try to get better? Or do you think they just go status quo and continue to ride this as long as they possibly can?
Yeah, I think they'll stay put. And, I mean, for what they're probably going to look to do now, that's the best case scenario anyway, because if you are going to put Levis out there, then you better have options for him. We talked about Treylon Burks being inconsistent. We talked about Chigakonwo being 50-50. But the one constant has been DeAndre Hopkins. You go his way, good things happen. And we really saw that yesterday. And then another pretty consistent part of it is when he gets the touches, Derrick Henry makes things happen too. So you definitely want to keep those guys around. And you look at Ryan Tannehill, I wouldn't trade him because, you know, let's say you do roll with Levis and, you know, God forbid something happens where he can't play or he just comes back down to earth. We already know how the fans feel about Malik Willis. So, you know, that's not something that they want to see. So I say all that to say it would make sense to keep those three major trading chips. And I wouldn't get rid of, you know, veterans either, like, you know, whether it's Harold Landry or Danico Autry or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm with you, TD. I've thought about that of if Will Levis gets injured or if Will Levis starts to hit, you know, that proverbial wall, it's nice to have that security blanket of your veteran. But also, I mean, does Ryan Tannehill really even have any trade value?
I mean, I'd say probably to a team like the Vikings, yeah. But, I mean, you're not talking about a tremendous amount of trade value, so I would just keep him, honestly.
Yeah, is his value for you on the roster better than the value than you would get in return? And you know, I think for an aging quarterback with a contract that's coming to a close, coming off of an ankle injury, that's probably the case. But last one from me, TD, and I'm with you, that I would bet by the time we get on the air tomorrow at 11 o'clock, the Titans stay put. Because I think DeAndre Hopkins and Derrick Henry showed you yesterday what their value is to this football team and especially to a young quarterback. But doesn't it kind of feel like now the Kevin Byard trade is almost all for none?
No, not really, because they wanted to see what they had in a young safety in Elijah Molden, you know, that they shifted over. I mean, a lot of people forget back in Washington, you know, in college, he played a lot of both safety, nickel, and, you know, he lined up a bit outside, but mostly safety and nickel. I don't think it's all lost. That's something that the fifth and sixth round pick, right, it's equivalent to a fourth. I could use those. I could see them using those as an option if they want to move up, right, or something along those lines. It gives them more picks. They have eight instead of six, and that's a much better number. So I don't think it's all for naught, no.
TD, Teron Davenport, TD, appreciate you as always. Short week this week, but we'll chat next week after Pittsburgh.
All right. Yes, you got it. Take it easy.
Awesome. Appreciate it, TD. What do you think, D-Mace? We're on the air tomorrow at 11 a.m. Is Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Danico Autry, all of those guys that could potentially on the trading block, are they Titans?
I think Henry's a Titan. I don't think, teams are willing to give up what the Titans may want. Everybody else, it has to be something they just can't refuse. Because he's, you know, TD's right. Because, you know, the whole situation, which it's like I'm getting even more disappointed as we start to talk about it more and more. It's like the Treylon Burks and the Chigakonwo, those two guys that I thought highly of, and I still do think highly of them as players. They just haven't, one, been available, which Treylon Burks, and then when they've been available, they haven't given you much to love, or they haven't given you much to look forward to, you know. So I had anticipated on Treylon Burks coming out and having a good game, you know, and then that probably could have put the Titans in a position to say, hey, listen, if y'all want D-Hop, you got to give up. You got to come up on the pitch now. You see what this guy did? 3 touchdowns. He still can play. So if you want him, you got to give up at least a third for him, you know. But because Traylon, you know, hasn't come around, they can't afford to do it. They can't afford to move away from him. Not to say that they wanted to, but I'm sure teams still will call today and possibly tomorrow about DeAndre Hopkins. But coming off the game that he had, it's like, okay, now the stock has risen just a little bit, you know. If you want him, you got to show us you really want him. They're not just going to walk away from him because, like you said, what's the alternative now? Because Traylon hasn't shown that he can be that number one guy. And then the other guy hasn't shown that he can catch the ball more times than not.
Traylon hasn't even shown that he can be your number two.
Yeah, Traylon's just, he's flashed a little bit, but I don't know what it is. I really don't, because the kid has all the tools and he's shown flashes of it. But, you know, maybe that's what, you know, has me so just irritated, you know, because I see it. Like, I see that he can do it. Like, he worked his ass off to make sure he was ready to go this year. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, you're not available. And then when you are available, you have some questionable drops, you know. You're not in tune to what's going on. So, you know, they're almost in a place now, the Titans, you know, they don't. You can't move them, D-Hop. You can't move them because you at least want to have somebody that the quarterback can rely on. And right now, besides Derrick Henry, he's the only guy that they can rely on. Because the other guys, well, Spears, you can rely on Spears. But the other guys, I mean, they're not giving us nothing.
Inconsistent.
I like Wally, but Wally's hurt now. You know, he's still in concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. So, at least if they would have had Wally back, then, okay, that's another pass catcher. But they don't.
Well, let's continue that coming up next, because I got some receiver questions mm-hmm. from you from what we saw yesterday with the Titans. And, of course, we are back into your phones as well, because today is your day, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.